So we're going to be looking at doubts, and we're going to be using the story. Often he does have a prefix, the Doubting Thomas story, but we're going to unpack that because like in that dramatic reading there, should he be called Doubting Thomas, or should that be what we remember him for? So, we often hear this from other people, or in my case, it's usually when I'm trying to shut down a file on my computer. You know, are you sure? It's, you know, do you want to save that first? And I still remember the day when I was shutting down all the windows on my computer and I was merrily close, 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 and I was hitting no for the save thing. Which was a big mistake because it hadn't automatically saved and I lost about 4 hours work that day. So now I'm a little bit slower to check which button I'm hitting. But you might try telling people a story and or that you've heard something and you might hear people say, are you sure about that? I think sometimes when we're looking at things online, we need to ask ourselves that quite often, rather than just accepting things. But let's just turn to the story. We're going to be looking at Thomas. And in looking at this, I would describe him as loyal and bold. There's not actually much in the Bible referencing Thomas. We don't know where he came from. But we do know he was one of Jesus' disciples. But there were two incidents prior to this one that we're going to talk about, which shows again that Thomas is both loyal and bold. In John 11, at the death of Lazarus, so they get notice that Lazarus is sick, and Jesus says they must return to him, but delays it. The other disciples are afraid, reminding Jesus of the dangers, because they say, but Rabbi, a short while ago, they tried to stone you there, and yet you're going back. But Thomas said, let us also go, that we may die with him. So he was a loyal and bold follower of Jesus. And then at the Last Supper, we see in John 14, Jesus starts by saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas wasn't afraid to ask questions that everyone else wanted to ask, no doubt, because he said, as written here, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Of course, Jesus replied, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father is through me. So we see that he wasn't afraid to ask the questions. He was bold and loyal. And he was a true follower of Jesus. But now if we look at this quite well-known story where the phrase is coined, Doubting Thomas, we see that this is in John chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw it was the Lord. So he offered up his scars without being asked, so that they knew it was him. As we know from other readings, Jesus wasn't readily recognized after he was resurrected. So The disciples here on this day weren't given room to doubt. He showed them before they asked, and they recognized him. But of course, one guy was missing, as we were told earlier. So now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, which means twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and my hand into his side, I will not believe." You see, his response was very specific. He didn't need to just see the scars, but to touch them, feel them. He wanted undeniable proof. For the other disciples had probably said they'd seen the scars, but he wanted more. He wanted to touch them. So a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Notice Jesus didn't just offer them up. He didn't just show them. He said exactly what Thomas had said he needed. He said, "Go ahead, touch them." And Thomas responded next with, to him, "My Lord and my God." We aren't told if Thomas actually touched Jesus, and I suspect he didn't, because he didn't need to, because he heard Jesus say back to him exactly what he said he needed to believe it. And that was enough. And here is where many of us can identify in our story, I'm sure, or at least I can. Because Jesus reveals himself to you. Notice, Jesus didn't rebuke Thomas. He knows our human weaknesses and allows us doubt. People who have no faith in Jesus are either in a place of doubt or in a place of unbelief. I believe that doubt is a place from which strong faith can grow. But unbelief is often a permanent destination, sadly. I say that because I have one friend and who simply says, "I cannot, I will not believe in God." And he means it. I have other friends who want to believe but have doubts that God is there for them. They have doubts that they're not good enough for God, which, by the way, is a place we all have to get to in order to reach that place of repentance, because none of us are good enough or deserving of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. But he gives it freely to all who seek it. But think, what's your story? Were you a Christian from birth? Were you surrounded by a wonderful Christian family and a Christian community that showed Jesus from day one? Or did you find him later in life when he revealed himself to you? Maybe through a preacher like Billy Graham or an Alpha course. But either way, no doubt life has thrown things your way which has raised doubts, no matter which camp you're in. But that God has spoken to you at that right time through scripture, Bible notes, or a preacher. How many of you have come and heard a preach which has felt that it was just written for you on that day, or opened your Bible notes or your daily devotions and thought, "How come that's there today, because I really needed that. I really needed God to know that's how I felt." So Jesus doesn't hide. He appears where and when we need him, despite our doubts. I just want to share with you my story. For me, 17 years ago, I was in a place of total doubt. I doubted myself as a wife, a mother, and a friend. The only place I thrived was at work. I was good at my job. I wasn't always a nice person to work with, mind, but I got the job done. However, my internal battles with fear of death and fear that there was no afterlife and no God had actually kept me looking for God, because I was fearful if I didn't find him, my fears were even more real. But then I met a young Christian woman at work called Sarah, who worked for me. She spoke of her life in difficult situations at work, usually involving me. She was calm. She was kind. She was forgiving. She very bravely invited me on an Alpha course, which I attended. And after 2 weeks, when I expressed that I'd like to read the Bible for myself, she placed one on my desk. I started reading the New Testament, reading Matthew. I was reading chapter 5. I remember it well, sat in my conservatory late at night. It was the Sermon on the Mount, and I read something that not only resonated with me, but revealed Jesus to me in such a way that I knew he knew me. All those thousands of years ago, on that side of that hill, when he spoke of something, he spoke into my life. And at that moment, I fell hopelessly in love with my Savior. I never prayed the sinner's prayer, not then. I've prayed it many times since. But a few weeks later at the Holy Spirit session, which was led by our own wonderful Karen who worships here, I received an infilling of love that released me from all unforgiveness, anger, and fear, and I have never looked back. I was changed. You see, this is where I think Thomas and I have something in common. Thomas believed because Jesus responded to his doubts specifically. He said, "Go ahead, touch them." So Thomas knew that he was known by Jesus. And when I read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' words spoke into my deepest, darkest pain and said, "I see you. And I know what you're feeling, and it's okay. I agree." And that's all it took for me to take that leap of faith with my heart, because at that moment, I believed. I wish I could say I followed Thomas's footsteps after that and went off to the east and converted thousands of people and built a church. But my family saw my change, and within 6 months, my lovely mum, through a toddler's Alpha, came to know Jesus as her Lord and Saviour. And I'll be forever grateful to that toddler group for loving her so well. So, belief, it is a choice, just as unbelief is a choice. But Jesus can work with us in our unbelief, provided we're willing to change. Like the man whose son was delivered by Jesus from a demon that was trying to kill him, said, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." We just need to be honest with Jesus, because he knows our innermost fears, our innermost doubts. He won't rebuke you. He'll just show you. You see, doubt is the opposite to belief in dictionary terms, but it doesn't oppose belief or faith. We are open to wrestling with our doubts. We're allowed to. But we're also called to doubt our actual doubts. In doing so, It can be a healthy part of our walk, being open to Jesus through scripture, his voice, his creation. Some people never feel closer, more close to God than when they're out in the open, just looking at the wonderful things he's made for us to enjoy. Christian witness. The number of people who give us a testimony like Liz's earlier about where she's been with God in her walk with her children. I'm not talking about doubts we have for others, though. Please hear me. Jesus is a personal saviour. And so what I'm talking about are our own personal doubts that we wrestle with. Not doubts about God's will for the world, our family or community. This is a very personal message I'm trying to get across. So, what are your doubts? You may not have any at the moment. You may have dealt with them. But if you have a personal doubt, what is it? Do you doubt you and your walk with Jesus, where you are at the moment? Do you doubt that Jesus loves you? Do you doubt that he can forgive that one or several things that you are carrying guilt about? Whatever your doubts, Jesus is saying, it's okay. I can work with that. Walk with me. Let me show you that you are loved. You are forgiven. You are mine. It really is finished. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder that it's okay to doubt. It's okay to bring you the doubts. It's okay to reach out to others that you place in our way, Lord, as we wrestle any doubts that we have. Lord, just help us as we walk through life. Help us to find the solutions. Help us to find the strength to face those doubts, not to bury them, not to let them fester. Maybe we can help others with their doubts because of our witness and testimonies, Lord. We thank you. Just help us, Lord, to be loyal and bold disciples for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.